So, reading today's Luke chapter 4, verses 14 to 30. And I'm reading from the NIV, which is the same one on the screen. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. On the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. Jesus said to them, "Surely you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself,' and you will tell me, 'Do here in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum.' Truly I tell you," he continued, "no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian." All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of the town, and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built, in order to throw him off the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way.
Thanks, Rob. That's fantastic. So I'm going to introduce Pam. Pam is with us this morning, but she's sharing by a pre-recorded message. And I'd just like to say welcome to Pam, but also Pam was due to speak maybe a year ago, right near the start of the pandemic, but we had to cancel it at that point. And it would have been amazing to have Pam with us in person physically. And I know Pam would have loved that as well. Pam's one of the founders of the Woodlands group of churches, along with her husband, Rob. And Pam is just an incredible lady, an amazing lover of people and of God and of the church. And it's a real privilege to have her with us this morning. Pam's a great hugger, and I'm sure this whole lockdown has been really difficult for her, because I'm sure she'd love to give each one of you a hug this morning. But I am now going to bring Pam on screen, and I hope you enjoy her message for us this morning.
Good morning, Alma. It's so lovely to be with you today. I have to say, though, that I was a little bit disappointed because I was expecting to be with you in person, but obviously that has all changed. Anyway, it's lovely to be with you again. And our subject today is Jesus' sermon in Nazareth, which is in Luke chapter 4. And it was a very significant incident in Jesus' life. And I have to say that those first verses that we read in chapter 4 give me goosebumps every time I read them. Amazing passage. So let's set this talk in context. In Luke 3 and 21, we read that Jesus was baptized by John, and the Holy Spirit descended, and a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love and am well pleased with." This was this great declaration and affirmation from the Father as to who Jesus was. And then in the beginning of our chapter, in chapter 4, we see that Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, was led immediately into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And so we come to our passage for today, and it starts, Jesus returns to Galilee, to Nazareth, in the power of the Holy Spirit. And you know, what do we see in these verses? That at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, the Holy Spirit was powerfully with him. And so he comes to Nazareth, his hometown. And I would imagine that there would have been great excitement, because it says in verse 4 that news about him has spread throughout Galilee. And it says in Matthew's account, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria. So he had come home. The local lad had done good. And he goes, as was his practice, to the synagogue to read a portion of the scroll and to preach. And so he is handed the Isaiah scroll, and he finds chapter 61, 1 to 2. And he reads these words. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. He then closes the scroll, and he sat down to preach the sermon. And what did he say? Profoundly this, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. A momentous and staggering statement. In that moment, Jesus stood before the people as a living expositor of the prophecies concerning himself. He was the Messiah, the one they had been waiting and longing for millennia, for eons, to bring freedom to the oppressed, liberation to the captives, and all kinds of healing for the afflicted. Restoring the sight to the blind and revealing to the world the light of the truth, ushering in the year of the Lord's favour. And this is why the religious people of his day, the chief priests and the scribes and the Pharisees, were so offended by his words. They were so offended when he healed the blind, when he brought freedom to those in prison, the oppressed, because it was a sign of his messiahship. His sermon that day to the people of Nazareth was, I am the one that Isaiah spoke about. Now, back in the beginning of the lockdown and around Easter, I was impacted by the story again of in Luke 24 of the two on the Emmaus Road. And I noticed something in that story that hadn't taken root before, although I'd read it many times. You know, Jesus meets these two heartbroken and disillusioned people, and all they had dreamed about and longed for had come to nothing. And we read those poignant words that they said to the stranger that came alongside. We had hoped that he would be the one to redeem Israel. And how does Jesus answer their hopelessness at that point? Verse 27 says this, interesting words. Beginning with Moses and the prophets, he explained to them all the scriptures concerning himself. Prophecies like Isaiah 9, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Of Micah 6, his birth was going to be in Bethlehem, this outback, you know, that was known to nobody. The last place that you would expect a saviour to be born. He was proving to them that it was not the end, these two on the Emmaus Road. And when he left them, their response was, didn't our hearts burn within us when he opened up the scriptures to us? And I thought as I read, you know, and meditated on that passage, that it gave hope to those who, in their devastation. And maybe it could give me hope in this awful pandemic and anxiety that I was in. So I went through the Gospel of Matthew, for starters, and I found all the prophetic verses quoted from the Old Testament, and I discovered 34 of them in just in the Matthew's Gospel alone. And every one of them was fulfilled in Jesus. Prophecies about his birth, his life, his death. And apparently I read somewhere that there are 33 prophecies concerning Jesus. And mathematically speaking, the probabilities of one person fulfilling 31, all of them, is immeasurable. It is incalculable. It's off the scale. And I sat there afterwards and I sensed a transformation rising inside. You know, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And then I didn't, it's not that I believed in Jesus, I believed Jesus. I believed him and could surrender my life to him, my fears, my disappointments, all to him, like those two on the Emmaus Road. And that was my first observation of Jesus' sermon at Nazareth. Jesus is the Messiah, the Alpha and the Omega, the one who is supreme in the beginning, and he will be supreme at the end, as we read in Colossians in the Message. The suffering servant that Isaiah saw in chapter 53. Despised, rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with grief, and one from whom we hid our faces. The one who was wounded for my transgressions, bruised for my iniquities. The punishment that was brought to bring me peace was on him, and by his stripes I'm made whole. Job looked down the corridors of history and said hundreds of years before Jesus came, I know that my Redeemer lives and I will stand with him on that day, resurrection. Jesus is the Messiah. Secondly, how did people react to what Jesus said in Nazareth? Verse 22 says, all spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. Isaiah's prophecy, obviously. And then there came the question, isn't this Joseph's son? And here came the change in their thinking, doubt and disbelief. He's just the carpenter's son. He can't be the Messiah. We were hoping to see some of his fancy miracles today to take away our problems, make life a bit easier, a bit like the two on the Emmaus Road who had hoped. Sometimes I think a bit like us, a bit like you and a bit like me. With this shattering COVID virus where things are escalating out of control and fear and doubt and confusion and anxiety are inevitably our companions. We look again at Isaiah 9. Jesus, our Messiah, is still the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign. And nothing, certainly not this pandemic, can ever separate us from the love of Christ. The reactions to Jesus' words, especially the ones about the Messiah loving all people, not just them, was disturbing to them. And instead of responding with repentance and acceptance, it was rejection and hatred. And they would have thrown him off the cliff, but Jesus passed through the crowd and went to Capernaum to give the good news to others. Jesus came to bring wholeness and to bring freedom. It's amazing that that word freedom in our passage is translated forgiveness. That is such good news. And also to proclaim the Lord's favour. He is for us. And so my prayer is that we will know, firstly, the empowering of the Holy Spirit in our everyday lives, that he will make Jesus the Messiah real to us. That we will not just believe in Jesus, but we will believe Jesus. And we will follow him more nearly, and we will love him more dearly, and we will see him more clearly into this new and chaotic year. Thank you.